So today we're going to talk about spirituality and passion, how that goes together in our lives. I think when we do things in our lives, we do it passionately, but I think we are leading a well-lived life. Deepak Chopra talks about the universe and how the universe experiences love and passion through us. The universe feels what we feel, thinks what we think, loves what we love, touches what we touch. The universe depends on us. We're not so much like we're not in the world. The world is in us. Pure awareness. We're like we are the creators. So when we involve ourselves in the activities we are passionate about, then we are bringing happiness and meaning into our lives. Now, if you ever come to my house, you'll know what two rooms I hang out in. I have rooms where I display my passion. My rooms, not an inch of the wall is exposed. Photographs, poems, pictures of family, pictures of my grandson when he was a baby, menus of my 20-year anniversary for my marriage, announcements for weddings, graduation, photographs of nature, little ladybugs. I have plants everywhere, puzzles. I do jigsaw puzzle. A lot of times when I sit in this room, I'm happy. I have a sense of well-being because I'm connected to my passion. In fact, sometimes I just sit there. My husband walks by the room. I mean, what are you doing in there, Laurie? I'm sitting. I'm being happy. We've been married 38 years, so he pretty much gets that. He goes, okay, it's great. And he kind of keeps going. We talked about the child in us when we invite you all to come up and listen to the story. We channel that child within us, the child maybe we once were, or the child we need to be. And when we walk hand in hand with that child, we love more. We have more passion. We're more happier. I mean, what does a child do when they hear music? They dance. What does a child do when they see mud? They sculpt. What does a child do when they see a rain puddle? They splash. That's a child in me. I cannot resist a rain puddle. I got to splash. So when I talk about passion, what I'm thinking and what I visualize is the things we do that make us happy. And what makes us happy, we keep doing it. And we have a meaning in life. We can be passionate about politics, dance, music, singing, ceramics, gardening, sports. I mean, this church is loaded with passion. Think of all the committees we join. That's a lot of passion. UUs are passionate folks. And I'm glad to be part of the UU Passionate Committee. And what I've done is I have asked some friends of mine, people that I know, a question. What is your passion and where does it take you? There's a woman I know named Gloria. Her passion is tarot cards. And where does that take her? It takes her. She connects herself with other people. With a reading of her cards, she can answer maybe some difficult questions. Maybe give some guidance to somebody. Maybe redirect their life. My sister, who I speak a lot about, has a fiber farm. That's her passion. Her goats. She uses the fleece to spin the yarn, and she takes her yarn to the market. But where it takes her, not only to the market, but she also does craft fairs and workshops. She connects with the other people, usually they're women, with maybe a new passion. Feeling the fleece in your hand, spinning that yarn, knitting something. She talks about she works with the maidens, mothers, and crones. So I also ask people in this congregation, what is your passion and where does it take you? So we're going to come up and share with you. I would like to start off with Bill and Ruth.
Well, pretty much everybody knows, but maybe some of you don't know, our passion is music. And where it takes us is here, there, and everywhere. We started out here with the kids 20-plus years ago in the individual classrooms, and now we love playing for people, whether it's here or in a coffee shop, because it's our spirituality is in our music. We love to share it. This particular song is a song we wrote and Bill put to music years ago when we were leading the Christmas time, the meditation. And we had a kind of low turnout, but during the times when people are coming in and out, we were inspired. Well, and we'll do the song.
That night I wrote the music for the song. So the song, the words were written that day and the music was written that night right here in church. And this is also a song that we've done at the Martin Luther King March. It's called Take a Peaceful Step. And I think it has a little bit to do with passion, which is music is my passion.
Take a peaceful step, a journey of being peace. Take a peaceful step, a journey of a restful sleep. The first step is the hardest, the rest will follow easy. Just take the first step, a step for love and peace. There comes a time we need to meditate. A loss for words at times is never too late. And the love between us always congregates. But there's never room for any form or hate. An act of kindness always means everything. And a smile or two can always make us sing. Take a foot forward each time and make that swing. Then you know seeing peace is a beautiful thing. Take a peaceful step, a journey of being peace. Take a peaceful step, a journey of a restful sleep. The first step is the hardest, the rest will follow easy. Just take the first step, a step for love and peace. It's okay to bring with you all the scars. The emotions left behind will know who you are. Let the words of society release you. What you bring is your gift of peace so true. Take a peaceful step, a journey of being peace. Take a peaceful step, a journey of a restful sleep. The first step is the hardest, the rest will follow easy. Just take the first step, a step for love and peace. Just take the first step, a step for love and peace. A step for love and peace.
Thank you. Next, I would like to invite Donnie. What is your passion, and where does it take you, Donnie?
You might know. I mean, you do know, most of you, that I'm a flower freak. And I've appreciated and loved flowers since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. But I don't have a green thumb, so I can't grow them. It just hardly happens. So it was real fortunate when I came upon flower pressing. This all started about 10 years ago on a cross-country trip. We were camping, and we stopped at national parks and roadside rests, and I saw some flowers, some wildflowers I hadn't seen before. Didn't know what they were, and I stuck them in a paperback book. When I got to my sister's several days later, I opened it. Dang, if they hadn't survived! And I thought, I could do something with this. And I went to a little gift shop near her house, and I saw some pressed flower cards and bookmarks. And that was the kickoff. The good that it brings to me is basically threefold. First, it takes me to mountain meadows, basically. The gathering portion of flower pressing is meditative and spiritual. A meadow full of wildflowers is more spiritual, although this morning came close, than any church sanctuary. I mean, enter and rejoice and come in comes close, but a meadow will do it any day. That's the first thing, is the good of gathering, the fresh air, etc. The second thing it does for me, place it takes me, if you will, is the creating of the little pieces that I make. And I didn't bring anything to show you. It's all back there outside because they're pretty little. But the creating, putting the flowers together into something that someone will appreciate. The third is the joy of giving, because my cards go out to people and someone will mention, that was really cute. Or a little packet of them will be a gift and I see the smile when they open it. And this is very pleasing to me that somebody's able to appreciate it. And I'm thinking that we you use aren't very biblical, but many, many times the Bible verse Luke 12:27, consider the lilies of the field, etc. That comes to mind often. So that's my passion. And if you want to come back and see the things, I'd be glad to talk more.
Thank you, Donnie. Yeah, what she's talking about, there's a little table set up outside where the picnic tables are, and we have displayed some of the passions, and we're going to have a little classical music back there, too. So that's what she's talking about. There's a table in the back. I'd like to next invite Mary Shields. What is your passion, and where does it take you?
Thank you, Lori.
You're welcome.
So when Lori first sent out a call, what is your passion? It came to me really easily. My passion is poetry. But then it came to me again. I'm not sure I want to stand in front of people and read a poem. And I thought, well, if it's my passion, I should be sharing it with people. So I decided to read a poem that I wrote myself. And then I said, well, what do people think poetry is? I had trouble coming up with a definition. This is kind of, it's something written with, I got this from the dictionary, something written with intensity or beauty of language. And I think that's what speaks to me about poetry is language, words, the multiple meanings, the complexity and the ambiguity. And I think it's so interesting that everybody's mind works differently. My late husband's passion was music, and he didn't really get poetry. And I have a sister who's an interior designer, and her passion is it's design and it's color. I mean, she sees color in a way that You know, she'd say, oh, look at that shade of gray. Yeah, look at that shade of gray. It doesn't mean anything to me. Anyway, I mean, it doesn't mean much, but I'm learning from her passion. So I decided I was going to read two different poems, but I decided to read one poem twice. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the poem, and then I'm going to tell you how I came about or how I came to write it, the poem. So this poem is called Like a Bird. Like the bird in the basement at the summer house, she was dead at the foot of the steps. Bird droppings on the stairs and window panes, crashing frantically against the glass, crying out in anguish at her plight, longing desperately for open air. Did she die of fright in a place she never meant to be, with no chance to ever again be free? So I wrote that poem in the early 1980s. I was back in Michigan, which is where I'm from, and my mother and I drove to what we call our summer house. It's an old farmhouse that my parents bought and renovated, and it's very nice. So when my mother and I got to the summer home, there was indeed a dead bird at the bottom of the stairs. It made me sad, and somehow, because of the way my mind works with words and language, and it made me think of my mother, because my mother had a very, very, very difficult, a lot of difficult situations in her life. So I'll read the poem again. Like the bird in the basement at the summer house, she was dead at the foot of the steps. Bird droppings on the stairs and window panes, crashing frantically against the glass, crying out in anguish at her plight, longing desperately for open air. Did she die of fright in a place she never meant to be, with no chance to ever again be free? Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Sometimes this congregation likes to do those quick call-outs. So I'm going to ask you guys to call out a passion that you might have. What kind of passions do you have that you want to call out and let everybody else know?
Birds.
Bird watching.
Painting.
Poetry. Bike riding. Yeah. Ice skating. All right, Martha, there you go.
Our fur children.
Nice.
Trees,
good.
The earth.
Hiking.
Yeah, hiking.
Social justice.
There we go.
Talking
with your dogs. And with one or two words, where does this passion take you? How do you feel? Where do you go with your passion?
Nature.
Soar higher.
Happiness.
I go to France.
Timelessness. Timelessness.
Alive.
Yeah.
Exuberant.
Uh-huh.
People.
Connections. A lot of you guys talked about connections. Connections to yourself, connection to nature, connection with one another. And what you all have in common is that you overcame that barrier, that saying, oh, I can't do that. You know, I'm not really a painter. I don't write poetry very good. I can't really dance. But you came over that. You took a hold and you owned your passion. So we've been talking about sharing our passion and spirituality and how that kind of goes together. Spirituality comes from our souls. Our souls are our true self. And our passion connects us to that true self.